So Philippians and chapter 1, this is on page 1178, if you're following in a church Bible. It's page 1178, and you'll see there, I'm going to read from verse 18. It's in fact halfway through verse 18 down to verse 26. So Philippians chapter 1. Starting halfway through verse 18. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Amen. And again, we thank God for his word to us. And we pray that, as always, what we read, the written word, words of black ink on a white page, might become for us the living word of Christ within us to feed us and strengthen us. So these last few weeks and continuing reflecting on Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Paul writes from a position of being in prison, but at the heart of the letter, as Paul speaks about the Lord Jesus, it is an encouragement in togetherness. And in our first week, as we reflected on the opening verses of chapter 1, Paul is rejoicing in the partnership in the gospel that he experiences and has felt very much, this partnership with the church in Philippi. And last week, with these headings, resolute in Christ, rippling out, proclaiming the gospel, rejoicing, we reflected that for the Apostle Paul, even though he was chained in prison, the gospel was rippling out. The news about the Lord Jesus was rippling out. And he even says that as a result of Paul's being in prison, chained 24 hours a day to another guard, he says that the whole palace guard, and he says everyone else, however far that stretches, everyone else knows about Paul and knows why he's in prison and is speaking and, I guess, gossiping, as we used to say, gossiping the gospel. They are gossiping about Jesus, no doubt asking questions, puzzled over who this Jesus is and how come Paul is in prison for his faith. And of course, as we reflected last week, Paul has been speaking about the life of the Lord Jesus and the extraordinary way in which Jesus ministered to people. He met them exactly where they were. He didn't ask them to be anything except that which they were. And he would bless them right there. He would heal them. He would forgive them. He would encourage them as they were. And they went away changed people because of that. And so Paul has been speaking about the life of Jesus, but also the love of Jesus, this extraordinary love that emanates at all times out of Jesus. But neither of those things will have got Paul into prison. neither of those things. To speak about the life of Jesus, well, that's great. To speak about the love of Jesus, yes, that's wonderful. But it's not offensive. It's not enough to get you into prison. It was only when Paul began speaking about the lordship of Jesus, declaring, as we read in Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. That was the offensive thing. That was the offensive note that he sounded, declaring that even the Roman emperor himself would bow the knee one day to Jesus. And this is what had offended. And so this gospel, this good news, this extraordinary news about Jesus has been rippling out. And because of this, he says, I rejoice. And then in verse 18, halfway through, verse 18 ends for us. Because of this, I rejoice. That's what we looked at last week. And then this week, we pick that up. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. And Paul reflects on his own circumstances. His own circumstances are not easy. We might think of prison as, it's not great to be in prison. But our awareness of prison is that your needs are cared for. You're generally looked after, you're fed, you're watered. You're able to go to the toilet and wash, etc. You know, all these things. You're safe in prison. But in a Roman prison, none of those things were true. You would not be fed, you'd not be watered, would not be able to go to the toilet. Nothing like that would happen. Roman prisons were awful, dreadful places. But he is confident, the Apostle Paul is confident that he will not be ashamed, but will have, he says, sufficient courage. So in this hell that Paul is living in this Roman prison, that he will have sufficient courage to honour Christ in all that he is and does. And today I'm going to reflect just on these words. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And all week, I've had the tune in my head. Do you know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Do you know that song?
No.
Do you not know it? Oh. To hold his hand and walk his narrow way. You know, yes, yeah. So real church people, you know that. It's, kind of, it's embedded. You know. But is that part of a hymn? Or is it just a chorus? I can't remember. But anyway, I remember learning that. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Now I want to put it up just like this. To me, to live and to die. These were critical issues for Paul as he was living, or for many people, as they were existing in a Roman prison. There was, to me, to live or to die. Not even and to die, but for me, to live or to die. That was the choice that faced many prisoners in a Roman prison. But of course, we realize reading Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that this is not complete for Paul, because he says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And then he says, even though to live is Christ, he says, to die is gain. Somehow, he says. And we might puzzle over this. Well, how is that possible? And I'm sure if he speaks these words out to other prisoners, they might be puzzled and say, well, what do you mean? How does that work? How is it that to die is gain? Well, we begin with this, to me. And this is actually really important, because this is about what is personal to you. It is striking. When we go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, we read, Paul, do you know what it says next? And Timothy. It says Paul and Timothy. So this letter, we often say this is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. But in fact, the letter begins, the two people are writing it. Paul and Timothy are writing this letter. Timothy is there with Paul. But Paul says, to me, for to me. And this is Paul taking responsibility. He's saying, this is personal to me. This is not about Timothy. You can go to Timothy and see what he thinks and what he wants to say. But this isn't what he's saying. This is what I'm saying. Paul is saying, this is personal to me. He's not even referencing another friend of his and companion by the name of Silas, who had often been with Paul and Timothy. Nor is he referencing John Mark, who had a young man who had travelled on occasion with the Apostle Paul. Nor is he saying, this is what Barnabas thinks or what Barnabas has told me to say. Barnabas was the great encourager. Paul wouldn't be where he is in significance and prominence within the early church if it hadn't been for Barnabas and Barnabas encouraging him. But this is not about Barnabas. It's about nobody but Paul. To me. To me. This is about me. And there are some decisions in our lives where we have to say, for to me. This is what I decide. For to me, this is where I stand. The next man or the next woman, they might do something different, but this is not about them. This is about me. It is about the decision and the stand that I make. And that's important for us to recognize. Even if we have journeyed in our faith for a long time, for many years, even if we have journeyed in our faith for many years, from time to time, we need to come to this again. And we need to say, for me. You see, the Apostle Paul could have said this, used this phrase many times. We don't know. But he says very similar things at the end, in chapter 2, I think, of Galatians. He says that, what does he say? May I never boast save in the cross of Christ. May I never boast. May that be my boast. To me, life is about living out the cross of Christ. So he says this same thing in perhaps a different way. But when he says these things, sometimes it may have been in better circumstances. But right now, Paul is in a place that would be regarded as hell for many. And he has to say, okay, this is me. And from time to time, we need to make that choice as well. Who am I? What am I deciding? See, the Apostle Paul, a few verses later, says, I don't know what I will choose. In the end of verse 22, yet what shall I choose? He knows there's a choice here. Life or death. Paul is saying there's a choice. I'm not thinking about things just working their own way out. I am deciding. And it's so easy for us to think, well, yeah, okay, it's about me. Personal. I'll just let circumstances run their course. Do their own thing. No, this is about a choice. This is about the place we decide to stand. And it is, for each one of us, decisive. And that's the simplicity and yet the profundity of these two words, to me. It's about you. It's about me. What's the decision that we make, and where do we choose to stand? Martin Luther, 400 or 500 years ago, a key member of what became known as the Reformation, along with a man by the name of John Calvin. Martin Luther was a lowly monk, and yet he read the Bible for himself and realized that it may be that what the church had traditionally taught was not exactly how it should be taught. And he challenged the church authorities. And he said to the church authorities, he said to his own congregation, and he encouraged as many as he could that they could have a personal relationship with God if only they trusted in God, if they put their faith personally in God. Then God would see them and would forgive their sins. And the church authorities were not happy, and they called him on trial. They put him on trial, and it was said of Martin Luther at the time, he was asked to explain himself. What was he doing in spreading this teaching that was not official church teaching? And Martin Luther is reputed to have said, "Here I stand, I can do no other. Here I stand, I can do no other." But that didn't go. That was not a glib statement. That was a statement that Martin Luther made, knowing full well the consequences of what he was doing, speaking against power. And so that's where we begin. To me, we make a statement that is personal. It is a choice. We don't just drift into this. And it is decisive for us. And the next phrase, of course, is "for me to live is Christ's." A very definite sense of purpose for the Apostle Paul. "For me to live is Christ. I have dedicated my life," he's saying, "to following the Lord Jesus. I've dedicated my life to finding out about Jesus, to following the teaching of Jesus, and to being obedient to Jesus in every which way I can." And then, if, of course, when we read the letters of Paul, what we're really reading is Paul seeking to expound the teaching and the life of Jesus to the new believers in very many places. That's what we're reading. That's what we're experiencing. And we see how Paul is trying to unpack the teaching of Jesus and how it applies for people in their everyday lives. And for Paul, to live is Christ. This is his purpose. "I have fixed my eyes on the Lord Jesus, and my aim is to walk in his footsteps every day." And yet, there is something more for the Apostle Paul, and it may also be for us, where we can say that for Paul, there is that sense that to live is Christ was his destiny. "This is why I was born. This is why I was born. To live for Christ." It's a great question to ask. Why are you here? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about your purpose and your destiny? Why are you here? What are you here to do? Who are you here to be? And there's all sorts of answers that we could give to that. And sometimes the answer we give is not the answer everybody else would give about us. But for the Apostle Paul, he is clear. "For me to live is Christ." That's what it's about. I have discovered my purpose. I have discovered and just become increasingly aware, having peeled back layers of legalism and hatred and division, I've realized that actually this is my destiny. This is who I am. I've discovered myself. as I have focused upon the Lord Jesus. And thirdly, we can pop up here, humility. It is a humble place to be. If we want to be famous, then following the Lord Jesus is not the way to become famous. If we want to be a celebrity, then it is not the way to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul describes himself and Timothy as servants, or literally slaves of Christ Jesus. And so if we want to discover our purpose, if we want to peel away all the other layers within our lives and really understand our destiny, then it is in following Jesus. But that takes humility and a heart to serve. And I wonder that for us, if we pause to think and say, well, how would I say this? For to me, to live is... How would we fill that in? Would we say, and can we say, to me, not anybody else, not my husband, my wife, or my kids, or friends, to me, to live is... For Paul, it was his purpose, but also he discovered it was his destiny. This is why I was born. This is who I am born to be, but it's a place of deep humility. And then the third phrase, to die is gain. To die is gain. What an extraordinary statement. To die is gain. And I'm sure if, as I mentioned a moment ago, if Paul did say this to other prisoners, they will have asked, well, what lies beyond death? What is there so gainful about dying? I know we're going through hell, but in what way is that gain? Not just nothingness, but how do we gain? For Paul, he knows that to die is gain, is a choice. I do not know which to choose. What shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. And this extraordinary reflection that for Paul, even though he's in this hellish place, this Roman prison, he believes he has a choice about which path he takes, of life or death. He makes this choice. Now, on the one hand, he says, well, if I die, I will be with Christ. I desire to depart and be with Christ, he says, which is better by far. Now, the extraordinary thing about the Apostle Paul, you know, in Acts chapter 9, we're told this account of how the Apostle Paul, or before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was just Saul, when he was travelling to Damascus, he really was arrested on the spot by a vision, by the presence of the resurrected Jesus, who spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul would reflect on this on a number of occasions in the rest of his life, and he references it in his letters, this experience that he had of the risen Christ. And it's made, as we see, a profound difference. For to me, to live is Christ. But to die is gain. This choice that he faces, he says, to be with Christ, it's far better. For Paul, his understanding is that if he dies, he will go in some way to be with Christ, and he will experience Christ in a deeper way than he'd ever known Christ while he was alive. And so he says, to die, it will be gain. I will know a beauty and a love that I've never known before. I have touched upon it. I have tasted it before. But I will know the fullness of it. So to be with Christ is surely gain. But on the other side, this is Paul choosing, and I don't know what I am to do. I desire to depart and be with Christ, far better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain. And so Paul, for me to live, well, that's for Christ. That's my purpose, my destiny, while I live. To die, wow, what a choice. What a great choice. To be with Jesus in a way deeper, more profound, more beautiful than ever I'd experienced before. But the choice, do I do that? Do I go that path or do I remain with you? And it comes back to this choice. My first slide that to me, personal. It's not about Timothy, it's not about Silas or John Mark or Barnabas, anybody else. It's about Paul, the choice that he has, and it is decisive. And if I can just highlight the choice. What does Paul decide to do? And why is this so important for us as we reflect on togetherness in Philippians? It is simply this, that as Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The choice that Paul wrestles with, how does he decide? He decides for the benefit and the encouragement and blessing of others. Even though this statement is all about Paul, even though it's all to me, this is about me. Well, I'm the son, not anybody else. But where does he come down? The place he comes down is, it is far better and necessary for you that I remain. Convinced of this, he says, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. And this is a key to togetherness. It's a key for this principle of togetherness. We all face profound choices in our lives. From time to time, we face profound choices. And we can say, well, for me, I can stay or I can go. I can do this and this benefits me. And it's better by far, whatever it is we're deciding. Or I can take this other path, which is still a wonderful path for, to me, to live is Christ. But this other path is a blessing for somebody else. And it's an encouragement for somebody else. And it's for the benefit of somebody else. And at that point, we are humbled. And we know that that path, choosing to me, I could take it for the benefit of me, but this other path, for the benefit, encouragement, and blessing of others, we realize that is the way of Christ, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped and to be held onto and to aspire to. But instead, Jesus humbled himself. And if we are to grasp and enjoy togetherness, then that's the decision we have to make over and over again. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, you are generous in your blessing of us. Your word encourages us that you lavish your blessing, you lavish your love upon us. And you do so so that we might discover our destiny. We might discover the very reason why we've been born. We might discover our purpose and our destiny. And in serving Christ, we discover that destiny. We discover why we're here and what we're about. and there's deep and profound blessing for ourselves and for others when we do that. And Father, we pray encouragement from you today, that we might understand the choice that we do face, that we will face. A choice: do we live and die for ourselves, or do we live and die for others? We pray for your profound encouragement and strength. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.